First and goal. Trubisky throws again. And this time Shaheen's got it for a touchdown. Third touchdown of the season for Adam Shaheen.
That's what you thought you were going to hear when the Bears drafted the first round Mitchell Trubisky and the second round Adam Shaheen. Bunch of calls like that from Sam Rosen as the Bears were going to be better than they were. But hey, yesterday, was that an anomaly for the Chicago Bears, or is that a glimpse at the future? Chicago Bears maul the Cincinnati Bengals on the road. They beat them in Cincinnati 33-7 and play the most balanced offense production I've seen in years in Chicago. Dominant on the ground, and Mitchell Trubisky throwing the ball around. Just everything that you expected from the hype that came along with picking Mitchell Trubisky with the second overall pick in the NFL draft. Joining us as he does every Monday for the Monday Evening Quarterback is Adam Hoge. He, of course, covers the Bears for WGN Radio. You can find all his stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears. Adam, a tremendous, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what'd you think of the performance yesterday?
I was kind of speechless. Where has that been all year? It's kind of like if you took every single thing we've said on this Monday Evening Quarterback about the offense for the whole season, and you put it into one game in terms of what they should do, what kind of personnel they should use, what kind of scheme they should be running, being more aggressive. How many times have I said, just let Mitch play? Just let him play. And they opened it up. It was a perfect opponent, and that needs to be taken into consideration. The Bengals were ripe for a huge letdown. Just coming off that loss to the Steelers on a short week, banged up with five starters, lost on defense. But I still give the Bears credit for taking advantage. That's exactly what everyone's been waiting for all season.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. I mean, obviously, the Bears as well are playing for almost nothing, just the development of their quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. And we saw some strides. I mean, the NFL is all about consistency. And the Chicago Bears have been less than consistent throughout the season, even dating back to Mike Glennon as a starting quarterback. But yesterday we saw what was supposed to be a Dow Loggins offense with Mitchell Trubisky throwing to other rookies like Adam Shaheen. I mean, are you confident that this is the future direction that the Bears will build off this, and this could be more of the consistent product that we see week in and week out from this Bears offense?
Well, they're going to have to prove it. I mean, this is one game, and it was against, like I just said, against a team that really didn't have a whole lot to play for and was really banged up defensively. So, look, the Lions this week have a lot more to play for. They're still in the playoff hunt. Their head coach, Jim Caldwell, might be on the hot seat too. So it's going to be a much tougher opponent. So if they can carry this into Detroit and carry a similar game plan and similar execution, then maybe we start talking about that. I think what is encouraging, though, is the pieces you saw in this game, the way they performed on both sides of the ball. But let's start with the offense. I mean, Mitch Trubisky, he's really... I haven't had a whole lot of bad things to say about him. And through a five-game losing streak, I felt like last week I almost had to – you try not to do this, but you start to couch everything because at some point you got to win games, right? So I thought – like John Fox said, I thought he played fine last week against Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought Jimmy Garoppolo outplayed him a little bit, just slightly. But I thought Mitch was fine against the 49ers. But you can't spend a whole week talking about that when they've lost five games in a row.
Yeah, right.
So to see him come out and deliver a really good performance, but it wasn't just him. I mean, Adam Shaheen, that's what I've talked about this. When you see something in Bourbonnais where there's only a couple thousand people there, it's hard to convince everyone that it's there when they haven't seen it on the field on Sundays when it's on television. And that has been there with Adam Shaheen. He is a guy that can use his big body to make plays and go up and catch. His great hands. And he hasn't always shown that this season, but he does. You saw that on his touchdown catch, which was a great ball by Mitch Trubisky. And then Kendall Wright. Kendall Wright has flown under the radar all season in a bad wide receiver room. Every single time that guy gets an opportunity,
yeah, right,
he makes a catch. Let's give him credit going back to the first half of the season. He showed up on third downs. He just isn't on the field enough, which again goes back to the coaching staff. and he hasn't had a lot of opportunity because Mitch Trubisky hasn't been throwing the ball a whole lot. Well, so Adam, a game like this, it got opened up, and he had 10 catches.
Your bone, I mean, you have had a bone to pick with the Bears offense personnel groupings for weeks now about who gets on the field and who doesn't. Has that worked itself out? Did we see a more balanced approach when you look at the film to who was on the field at what time?
Yeah, I think so. But it helps when you have, I think the total was 76 plays. They had 37 against the 49ers. And when they're not letting Mitch throw a whole lot, it comes out to, you know, we've seen games where he doesn't even get to 15 passing attempts in the game. So if you're a wide receiver, how are you supposed to get a whole lot of catches when, especially when you're a guy like Kendall Wright, who they decided early on in the year, some of it was conditioning, some of it was maybe picking up the offense, whatever it was. They decided that he was only going to be a slot guy on the field in three wide receiver sets. And the way that they've slowly developed Mitch and not put him in vulnerable positions, they haven't run a whole lot of three wide receiver sets. And so that's really limited Kendall Wright's playing time.
And I would assume Mitchell Trubisky's options, if you're not playing three wide receiver sets, what are you playing? You're playing two tight end max protection?
Yeah, and handing the ball off, and I mean we saw
with two options on if it is a pass play, yeah, that's not great for developing a new quarterback.
Right. So in Kendall's situation, I got a little criticism yesterday because I threw this out on Twitter during the game. I said, you know, Kendall Wright's had a good season. He just hasn't had a whole lot of opportunity. And just the idea of one of the Bears wide receivers actually playing well this year was hard for people to comprehend.
Right, right.
But again, he hasn't been on the field. So it's I get that reaction, but
well,
it's
Adam,
the truth.
Let's take a break. But you just said it. I mean, you nailed it. The fact that for the first, I mean, I would say more than half of the season, they have been playing in max protect and not even throwing out three wide receiver sets, which means that Kendall Wright's not even getting on the field. Marcus Wheaton's not even getting on the field. So when we continue as fans to complain about the wide receiver play, you can also make an adjustment to that complaint and say the offensive game plan has almost that is exactly what you get when you play these kind of formations where it's just two tight ends and max protect.
Yeah, it is. And so it goes back to the personnel, which we've talked about. But, you know, on this Sunday, and I know we got a break, but just it seemed like the personnel was good, the play calling was good, and the execution was good, and that's why they ended up with 33 points.
33 points. Adam Hogue, the Monday evening quarterback, on the download right now, 312-981-7200. When we come back, let's talk about what do we think. I mean, there's the big fan question, and this is one that, Adam, we're going to talk us off a ledge. Yes, it's awesome to see the Chicago Bears annihilate the Cincinnati Bengals in the way they did. But as we every win that gets added to the column, the win column, means that our draft position gets weaker and weaker. Is it worth it as this is a lame duck season as we head to the final three games of the season? Adam Hogue will answer that question and more coming up here on the Monday Evening Quarterback. Stay with us.
Jordan Howard, the running back, on 2nd and 10. Trubisky with time. And there's Kendall Wright again. Leaping catch in Bengals territory, 7th catch of the game.
Working on all cylinders. We haven't even talked about the running game much with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, but the Chicago Bears beat the Bengals yesterday to go to 4-9 on the season. Adam Hogue joining us as he does every Monday for the Monday Evening Quarterback. 312-981-7200. We'll talk about the Bears. You know, Adam, Mitchell Trubisky continues to impress, and you saw yesterday that they kind of gave him more opportunity to throw the ball on first and second down. What still, I mean, perplexes me as a football fan is his lack of turnover. Since that first game where he threw a couple of interceptions to the Vikings, yesterday I'm flabbergasted that this rookie quarterback didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, as many times as he dropped back to throw the ball, he protected it. There was only one time where the ball was in the air where I was like, uh-oh, and that was when they were close to the end zone and he got flushed out of the pocket and had to throw one in the direction of Michael Burton, the fullback, which is not something you always want. And it was just like, oh, that one might, okay, he got away with it. Otherwise, you're absolutely right. I mean, the touchdown numbers haven't really been there because really the lack of opportunity and just it's been a bad offense. So he only has 6 touchdowns, but 6 touchdowns to 4 interceptions in 9 starts, given the first of all, for a rookie to only have 4 interceptions in 9 starts, I think is a pretty, I mean, that's pretty good. And to, especially given this offense, the lack of weapons he's had, some of the injuries on the offensive line, the, I mean, everything we've discussed all season with the coaching too, I think you zoom out and you look at Mitch Trubisky's season so far, and it's pretty encouraging. It's like I was saying a couple weeks ago, you know, you compare what he's doing right now to what Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were doing a year ago, and it's definitely not worse. It's definitely not worse.
Well, both of those quarterbacks are seeing tremendous, tremendous seasons this year. You saw their marquee matchup yesterday where they faced off against each other. Carson Wentz out for the year now after an ACL tear. But, I mean, can you make a parallel assumption to the Chicago Bears team? I mean, there's more that goes into it than just the quarterback. I mean, both the Eagles and the Rams have ferocious defense. They have great players around them that complement. Are the Bears in that category? Or could you see a maturation project or process for Mitchell Trubisky with the unit that's around him, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball?
Sure, yeah. I think, you know, there are a lot of similarities to draw between those two situations, and some people have compared Mitch more to Carson Wentz. I just think the situation's more similar to the Rams a year ago under Jeff Fisher, a very similar head coach as John Fox, conservative in nature, you know, had been in the league for a long time and is, you know, is well-respected across the league, but clearly was not running the right offense for Jared Goff. And, you know, even their general manager out in LA, Les Snead, I think similar to Ryan Pace, younger guy, seems to get it, hasn't hit on every single thing, but in the for the most part had that Rams roster pointed in the right direction, and had the young quarterback that just need to figure it all out. There was also hesitancy last year to play Jared Goff. Remember, Case Keenum played most of the season before they finally turned it over to Jared Goff, I think, for the last 7 games. So the only difference is that they went ahead and pulled the trigger on Jeff Fisher with a few weeks remaining in the season. It appears the Bears are not going to do that, but I still think the inevitable coaching change is coming.
You think so?
Yeah, oh yeah, I don't think this...
Well, Adam, what if the Bears, I mean, is it possible, and talk us again off the ledge, because we were just talking in the break, and Pete was telling the same story that I felt, where you get excited, and you go, this could be, they're going to be pretty good next year, and you're like, am I getting sucked right back into this again, like with the Chicago Bears squad? Yeah. Does John Fox, Dow Loggins, Vic Fangio, if they put on a performance like they did against the Cincinnati Bengals in the next 3 games and end the season 7-9, I would say if you ended the season 7-9 with a rookie quarterback and a lot of rookies playing, and that would have what a lot of critics would have said the Bears were going to finish at best at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but they're still 3-13 against the division. Yeah. Now that would improve to 5-13 if they end up beating the Lions and Vikings to finish out the year. And he's 0-7 in games where they've been favored. So there's still. Look, I think Ryan Pace understands this. A big difference between this situation this year and Phil Emery and Mark Trestman back in 2014 was that Phil Emery had gone on such a limb to hire his guy out of the Canadian Football League that those two were so married together. And Phil was a stubborn guy, did not want to give up on Shea McClellan, did not want to give up on Mark Trestman. I don't think he was going to fire Mark Trestman, and that forced the issue. I think they were going to fire Phil anyway, but it forced the issue that they had to go out together. This is a different situation. While Ryan Pace is ultimately responsible for hiring John Fox, we've gone through this before. He was not, there was really no way to even know John Fox was going to be available when Ryan Pace was hired, and it wasn't one of his guys. And I think Ryan Pace is smart enough to talk, just what we just talked about. Look at the Rams, look at the Eagles, understand those situations, and realize, look, this conversation would be different if John Fox had come out of the bye week and beat the Packers. It might be very different, but it didn't happen, and they went on a 5-game losing streak, and beating a sorry Bengals team doesn't change anything no matter what the scoreboard says.
Yeah, you're right. What about Ryan Pace? I mean, there's been a lot of calls. Even, you know, OB doesn't like Ryan Pace but yesterday, I mean, his resume was on display, or at least his work last year was on display. It was amazing to see so many rookies having an impact, not just playing, but having an impact on the game.
Look, there's no question that they should have more than 13 wins after three seasons. And ultimately, you're judged by wins and losses. But context matters. And the McCaskey family knew that there was going to have to be some patience here. I think everyone involved thought that they would be better than they are right now in this season. But you can still look at the roster and see improvement. It might not have come as quick. There's certainly a ton of free agency signings that don't look good. But the thing about the free agency signings that people lose sight of is that Ryan Pace's philosophy has been to not overspend on guys. So while there have certainly been signings that have not worked out, and there's been some money wasted, it has not been ungodly amounts of money. And almost all of these contracts, take Marcus Cooper's for example, you can get out of at the end of this year, even though that was a three-year deal for Marcus Cooper, who's done next to nothing this year and looks like a complete free agent bust.
Yeah.
You can get out of it. These are smart contracts. So even in his failures, there are caveats that point to some positives. And then when you just look at that game yesterday and you see that the four draft picks from this year are contributing the way they are, I don't know how you can fire a guy when he just had that good of a draft, including the quarterback.
And you'd like to see, I mean, obviously this league is showing that in the last season you saw the Philadelphia Eagles and the LA Rams completely turn it around. So if you stay at least with the general manager, maybe you have an opportunity to do that as well. Adam Hoge, of course, covers the Bears for WGNRadio.com and WGN Radio, of course. You can find all his stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears. We'll take a quick break, get an update on tonight's news. Come back. 312-981-7200. If you want to weigh in, now's the time to do it on the Monday evening quarterback. Stay with us.
Quick pass by Dalton. It's intercepted. Danny Trevathan. Excuse me, it's Eddie Jackson coming up for the interception.
Trevathan Jackson, all the same. Chicago Bears with the big victory over the Bengals to move to 4-9. It's the Monday evening quarterback, 312-981-7200. Adam Hoge with us, as he is every Monday. You can find out all of his work, including a great column about the development of Mitchell Trubisky up on WGNRadio.com/Bears. It's hard to talk about a win, Adam. We're so used to talking about losses.
Yeah.
I feel...
And with Sam Rosenthal in the game, it felt like a preseason game. I think he called Benny Cunningham Bunny Cunningham at one point, and he called Adam Shaheen a tight hen.
He definitely had he had drawn the ire of Twitter the entire
game.
All right, so the defense, a ton of inactives. I mean, when you saw at the beginning of the game, no Pernell McPhee, no Eddie Goldman, safeties. I mean, no Adrian Amos. There really was this doom and gloom, because that meant that there would be a lot of the journeymen, the reclamation projects like Lamar Houston or Chris Pozinski on the field. But, wow, Lamar Houston is two sacks.
Yeah, I think they credited – did they end up crediting that the right way? I can look that up right here. But I thought the second one he should have gotten. I thought they gave it to Howard Jones. So – let's see here. Yeah, he only got credit for one sack.
Yeah, he got two in my heart.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that's why you watch the tape, because sometimes the press box statistics are not accurate. And, you know what? Yeah, Lamar Houston, if you include the sack, if you say two sacks yesterday, that's three in two games, which makes you wonder why they cut him in the first place.
And he had a great preseason. Remember, right at the end, he got injured, but right at the end in that game where it counted, he was playing lights out. I remember that at the end of the preseason.
And he scored a touchdown for the Texans when he went down there and played for Houston earlier this season. But, you know, to your point, give the Bears defense credit, because I wasn't too worried about the loss of Pernell McPhee. He's been so limited anyway. He's been pretty good in the second halves of games, but he hasn't been a guy that's on the field every play anyway. And Vic Fangio did a couple interesting things, one of them being he actually put Sherrick McManus – a reserve corner, really, who's a special teams guy, on the field to rush the quarterback, kind of as like an extra outside linebacker a couple times. So some creativity there from Vic Fangio, with a guy who usually doesn't play defense. And on the defensive line, John Jenkins, who's a guy who not a lot of people know about, he's been inactive a lot this season. He came in, took over that Eddie Goldman role, and alongside Akeem Hicks, played pretty well. And Jonathan Bullard's been getting more opportunity. Remember, Mitch Unrein also went on IR this week. Mitch Unrein, an unsung hero who really had a great year before he got hurt. So they were banged up on that D-line, and these reserves came in. Speaks to the depth. Roy Robertson-Harris, who's a young kid that switched positions and is, you know, had limited playing time, he played well too. So the Bears have legitimate depth on their D-line, and I think that has been by far their most consistent position grouping this season and really good all year long, led by Akiem Hicks.
It seems as well that one of the unsung heroes for the Chicago Bears defense is Danny Trevathan, who has been out with injury, but he also with the suspension, with his hit on Devontae Adams in the Packer game earlier in the season. But when he's in the game, they line up right, they're in the right spot, they seem to be around the ball. He makes plays himself. He really does embody what you expect from a middle linebacker in Chicago.
Yeah, and you know what? This one goes to John Fox because he's a John Fox guy. They signed him because he played for John Fox in Denver and played well and won a Super Bowl ring there. And he's got speed. He's sideline to sideline speed, NFL and legitimate NFL linebacker speed. The problem is he struggles to stay on the field. And, you know, I'll give him a pass for the suspension, but he did miss three games coming out of the bye week. They missed him against the Packers, and that certainly contributed to the five-game losing streak, not having him. It's a different defense when he's on the field, and he certainly helps, and he had another good game on Sunday.
All right, one last defensive player till we get to the big picture items, but big ticket items. Kyle Fuller, once again, his name called a lot. I mean, if you just go by who's around the ball and whose name gets called in a positive way frequently throughout the game, Kyle Fuller has to be on that list. He continues to make plays, albeit misplays as well, opportunities to ball hawk, but he seems to each and every week at least stand out.
Yeah, this creates a fascinating offseason question because when you start thinking about guys you could potentially franchise tag, his name is at the top of the list. And I don't know that we would have thought that at the start of the year. Now, the Bears just declined his fifth-year option, so he theoretically could have been under contract for next season had they picked that up. The deadline was back in March. You think about going back to March, no one could have foreseen this season happening the way it has for Kyle Fuller, who didn't even start the year as a starter. So, actually, technically he did because Prince Amukamara was hurt
the first two games.
But he was the number three corner throughout camp, preseason, and it would have been that way had there not been injuries at the position. So give Fuller a ton of credit. He's going to earn himself a paycheck here. I think you brought that up the correct way, though, Justin. It has not been a phenomenal season. Someone asked him about the Pro Bowl last week in one of his media gatherings, and I kind of shook my head. I think that's taken a little bit too far. But he has been targeted a ton, and that's a very vulnerable position when you're targeted a lot. So overall, there's been way more good than bad from Kyle Fuller. It's been a good story, and it creates a fascinating situation in the offseason. Do you bring him back? Scheme could play into this. Who's the Bears' defensive coordinator? Who's the head coach? There's a lot of variables at play for Kyle Fuller, and maybe the smart thing is just to franchise him. He'll make a lot of money with that, but make him prove it again.
Well, I mean, obviously, that was a big area of concern at the beginning of the season. They wanted to shore up the defensive backfield, and that's why they brought in Quentin Demps, Prince Amukamara, Marcus Cooper. Where are we with the Bears' secondary? Are they playing at an elite level? Are they what we expected? Are they mediocre? Are they not coming through? Where are we at in Week 14 when we look at the Bears' secondary?
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting offseason for the secondary because Prince Amukamara has been playing well, and he's only on a one-year contract. So you'd have to re-sign him, and he's a little bit older. I think he's 28 now. He's not too old to give more money, but he's probably going to command more than a one-year deal with the way he's played. So do you want to give him that, or are you going to let another team do that? And again, with Kyle Fuller, I put him in the Alshon Jeffrey category of, does he really want to be a Bear going forward? Because let's not forget last season, there was disagreements over his knee injury. He did not see eye to eye with the team's opinion on his knee. I'm not sure that they wanted him to get that scope, and certainly Vic Fangio was critical at times about his desire to come back and play towards the end of the year. So let's not forget all that. That counts. Does Kyle Fuller want to be here? And then Adrian Amos, I was saying this a little bit last week, pump the brakes a little bit on Adrian Amos. He's had a great year, but now he's hurt. This next year will be his fourth year, and I think overall there's been more bad than good. This year, certainly good, and you hope that's trending in the right direction. I do think the one thing is Eddie Jackson looks like a mainstay, somebody who's going to be here for a long time at safety, and it was good to see him bounce back this week with a few more plays.
There you go. Adam Hoge covers the Bears for WGN Radio. You can find all his stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears. We'll take a quick break here for the Monday Evening Quarterback. We'll come back. I'll read all the texts and tweets, and we will catch up on the big ticket items that we are still scratching our head about after week 14 here in the Bears season. All right, stay with us.
Here's Howard. No, it's Trubisky in for the touchdown. Beautiful fake by the quarterback, and Mitchell Trubisky takes it in.
So many touchdowns to talk about. What team is this? The Bears, of course, coming off the blowout win against the Bengals, 33-7. They get to 4-9. It's the Monday Evening Quarterback, 312-981-7200. Adam Hoge on the line, covers the Bears for the station at WGNRadio.com/Bears to get all the stuff. Why don't we start with the magical? I've got a couple of these. We'll go with Gabe's from Twitter. Does this win hurt the Bears' future? Of course, talking about draft picks and positions as we get close to the end of the season. What do you think?
Yeah, my guess is that it has something to do with John Fox, too. You know, the fear of him saving his job, which we talked a little bit about earlier in the hour. Look, I understand the desire for a high draft pick and being afraid that John Fox is going to keep his job. To me, and I wrote this was my post-game column yesterday from Cincinnati, I think it's way more important for Mitch Trubisky to experience success. To have a day like he did yesterday is way more valuable than a couple draft spots right at this point. You need him going into 2018 in a positive manner, experiencing success at the NFL level, knowing he can do a lot better, and potentially getting better coaches around him. I stop worrying about draft position. Stop worrying about John Fox. Focus on what's best for this team. And it's not just him. It's Adam Shaheen. It's Tariq Cohen. It's Jordan Howard. It's Eddie Jackson. All these young guys. This has been a losing team for too long. 7 years of not making the playoffs. I talked about this last week. There's one player on this entire roster, Sherrick McManus, who has experienced a winning season on the Chicago Bears. These guys need to learn how to win. That's way more important than a couple spots in the draft.
Well, 312 has the same question I have. When you get to the draft, is it just a foregone conclusion that the Bears pick a wide receiver?
I don't think so. I mean, it's an interesting year for wide receivers. I think Calvin Ridley out of Alabama, somebody to watch as the college football playoff comes closer here. I wrote a piece last week you can find on WGNRadio.com, a 10 players you can keep an eye on during bowl season, which is always fun. But I think this team has so many needs that, no, I don't think you just say wide receiver. I mean, the thing is, they haven't drafted any other wide receivers besides Kevin White under Ryan Pace. It's not like they've used later round picks on any. That's part of the problem here. You can find guys in the second, third round. Alshon Jeffrey was a second round pick. Right. So I'm not sure there's a ton of wide receivers at the top of the draft boards right now, first and foremost. So you might have to dig a little bit. And I mean, you could justify drafting a corner or an outside. They need outside linebackers like crazy. They need to get after the passer. So there's a lot of options.
It would be nice if they had someone at Leonard Floyd type speed to complement him and let Pernell McPhee just come in for passing downs. That would be nice in rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think if you can add somebody with that kind of speed but is maybe a little bit tougher, I think that's still the big question with Leonard Floyd is how does his body hold up at the NFL level? It was a little bit better this year, but here he is still on IR at the end of the year, so they got to figure that out.
Yeah. Tariq Cohen, 773, asks about Tariq Cohen. The Bears obviously responded to the criticism, and they're doing everything they can to put the ball in that kid's hands.
Yeah, one thing that was really positive yesterday was him running. You know, the play where he because he hasn't, first of all, he hasn't got that many carries in forever. And when he has, he's been stuffed. And part of that was because he was not necessarily reading holes correctly, and he was dancing around a little bit too much in the background instead of just running forward. Well, if you go back and watch the play early in the game where he accidentally stepped out of bounds on what would have been a touchdown on the first drive, you know what I'm talking about? Yep. That was like Le'Veon Bell type patience.
Yeah, it looked like he was going out of bounds and he was able to stay in, right?
Well, there wasn't a hole open there, and he just kind of stood behind his line, waited for something to open. He made the cut, made it happen, got up the sideline, and should have had a touchdown, except he needs to do better with his footwork. He accidentally stepped out of bounds.
Here's my issue with him is he looks lost in returning punts. Now, we saw last week against San Francisco where he had a highlight, number one on SportsCenter, top 10. That was amazing, and it play. You know, obviously it paid off in putting him in that position. But every other time, including yesterday, he doesn't know where the ball's at. He's catching it inside the 10. He looks like a rookie being a punt returner.
I asked him about that after the game yesterday. I asked him, you know, was the wind bad? I mean, what was going on there? Because there were three punts that he just completely misjudged in the air. Whether it was not running up to catch it, whether it was – like, there was one that was right next to him he just let hit, and it bounced back, and he had to run back and pick it up. It was weird. So he just wasn't seeing the ball well, and I think that they definitely – that's a it's a easy area of improvement for Tariq Cohen.
312-981-7200. The other questions about the offensive line, obviously being able to run the ball the way they did with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, but also – keep the Cincinnati Bengals defense on their heels. The offensive line looked good without Kyle Long.
Yeah, a couple players I'll focus on here. One, first and foremost, I was wondering with Kyle Long out, would they try Cody Whitehair back at guard with Hronis Gersou at center and try to see if they could get something out of Hronis, the former third-round pick, through these final four games. I think they made the right call to keep Cody Whitehair at center. He was absolutely dominant yesterday. He's improved as the season has. Remember earlier in the year, he was having snap issues. It was like, what's wrong with Cody Whitehair, who looks so good as a rookie? And I think part of that was they spent so much time early in the season and in training camp moving him between guard and center. That guy looks like he could be a center for the Chicago Bears for a decade. Just leave him at center. And I think that's going to be the case now going forward. Just leave him there. He's a potential Pro Bowler at that position if he could just stay there. So that was positive. Another guy I'm really interested in is Josh Sitton, because he is over 30 now. He's due to make $8 million next season that you could just cut him and not have to pay. But he's pretty darn good still, even though he's old. So I'm curious to see what happens with Josh Sitton in the offseason at the guard position. That's another area they could draft very easily in the first round is offensive line.
Yeah, you'd like to see that. All right, finally, just the overall, the Detroit Lions coming up on Saturday, right? This is a Saturday game? Boo.
It is.
Okay. The Bears head up to Detroit. Detroit's still in it and still hoping for a wild card opportunity. This will be interesting to see Mitchell Trubisky on the road in the division against a team that can't afford to lose.
Yeah, and it's a defense you can move the football against. They're going to be way more motivated than the Bengals were, but there's holes in that defense. There's opportunities to move the ball. So I really, whatever happens with the score, let's see some progress with the offense. Just going from one week to the next and keeping this up. Maybe they don't score 33, but you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Keep this game plan going. Let's see Mitch continue to throw the ball downfield, make some plays, keep Kendall Wright involved, things like that. The running game going. That's all a play. This is a winnable game for the Bears. I don't know that I'm going to pick them to win, but they can beat the Lions if they play like they did yesterday. I still wonder about the attrition on defense against a motivated Matthew Stafford and Lions offense.
Do you foresee a Pernell McPhee or an Eddie Goldman or Adrian Amos coming back this season?
I think they'd be on IR already. Especially Pernell, you could argue shut him down. They haven't done that. Eddie Goldman, you know, hopefully he can get back out there because he's had a pretty good year. And is another young player that you want to build this defense around. So I think they'd already be on IR if they didn't have a chance to come back. But again, maybe that's the biggest area. The Bengals' offense was just like dead.
And
looked like they were going through the motions. The Lions are not going to be going through the motions on Saturday. They're going to be highly motivated. So it's going to be a much different test for this Bears defense.
There you go. Adam Hoge, of course, joins us every Monday for the Monday Evening Quarterback. You can find all his great stuff covering the Bears for WGN, both, of course, on air, but also online at WGNradio.com/Bears. And we will join you next week, hoping that the Bears, I don't even know what to hope, that Mitchell Trubisky has a good game. That's essentially it. All right, thanks, Adam.
All right, thanks, Justin.